Let's dig more into the CPI report and the reaction to it today, as well as the extrapolation as to what it's going to mean for the Fed, of course. Michael Darda is with us, chief economist and macro strategist at MKM Partners. Mike, it's good to see you. So 50 basis points, is that what we're getting in March? Or do we still need to see the additional CPI report that's coming out between now and then and maybe get a little Fed speak? What do you think?
Well, I'd be a bit surprised if the Fed went 50 right out of the gate. I think with these numbers and the way the economy performed last year, you could certainly make a case for 50. But the reason the Fed probably won't do that is because if they did, market expectations would, you know, reset to 50 at, you know, each subsequent meeting. And they probably don't want to take the risk of taking that step and then having to reverse course. So they're probably going to start out more gradually. They still have 7 meetings this year. They can raise rates at every meeting by 25 basis points if they decide that's called for. And they can also pick up the pace of rate increases later on. But let's take a step back here and just recognize, even though we have 7.5% headline inflation and 6% core inflation, excluding food and energy, the Fed's actually still doing QE. It has not wrapped up the taper, and short rates are at 0. So to say they are behind the curve is a complete understatement.
Michael, to that end, do you think we're seeing a upward price spiral in this economy?
You know, we do have a broadening of inflationary pressures. I'm hearing some economists say, well, the inflation's really been driven by the goods sector, and that's going to cool off as the pandemic recedes. Keep in mind that if we look at services inflation, excluding energy services, we're still running at pretty high levels, around 4%. And the trend for this cycle has actually been above the last cycle. So if you extend the trend growth path of services inflation, excluding energy, from the beginning of the pandemic, we're running above that. Rents are rising fairly rapidly. Wages are also rising. And all of these variables are above the trend growth path of the previous cycle. So the idea that this is just some kind of a narrow inflation that will disappear on its own, I think, is wishful thinking.
So what is going to happen from here, Mike? I mean, is this 7.5% print, are we going to see smaller prints from here on out? Is there a risk even of seeing this level or higher persist? Because we keep hearing these calls that the supply chain is easing a little bit, but I don't know if it's enough to make a difference.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful about head fakes. And so we very well could be at a point where these headline inflationary pressures are peaking on a statistical basis. But keep in mind, if the inflationary pressures are broadening out, that's a floor that continues to rise in terms of how much inflation will fall and how sustainable that decline would be. The other thing to keep in mind here is, you know, one failing that's happening in Wall Street research right now is lack of any kind of a coherent model of nominal income determination. And that basically means if the Fed is behind the curve, on the curve, or in front of the curve, and how we make the macro assessment from there. If they're just going to start out very gradually and they're going to continue to be behind the curve, we really should not expect the economy to slow dramatically and for inflation to plunge in a sustainable way. So yeah, these numbers could be headed down at some point in the near future, but my opinion is we're likely to see inflation at least 100 basis points, if not more, above what would be consistent with the Fed target, which is 2% average inflation targeting. So we're way above that now. I think we're going to continue to be above it, and the Fed's likely to be behind the curve for most of, if not all of the year, which could set us up for some potential challenges going into 2023 if the Fed has to get more aggressive then.
Before you came on, Michael, I was sharing a recent story of mine where the cost of my deodorant that I used all the time essentially doubled. It's almost $14 a pop right now. And what did I do? I traded down to something that was $7. Have you seen price increases in your own life, and have you tried to trade down as a result?
Well, yeah, everything is up. I mean, obviously food and household products, you know, rents, and we're seeing a lot of pressure on prices in leisure and hospitality. So just try booking a vacation somewhere. So I think we're all seeing it in our everyday lives. I'm certainly seeing it. And the question is, if you still have a very hot economy that is rapidly closing in on full employment, and potentially beyond that, can we really expect a full-scale reversal of these inflationary pressures? And I don't think so. So the overall headline CPI might ease a bit, but we're still going to likely be dealing with overall inflationary pressures well above what we were accustomed to during the last cycle. And that will continue until the Fed tightens enough to slow overall aggregate demand in a sustained fashion, and then inflation will come off. But until that happens, we're going to be dealing with, you know, persistent above-trend inflation, in my opinion.
Yeah, something to look forward to. Mike Darda, good to see you. Thanks so much. Chief Economist and Macro Strategist at MKM Partners.